You know, my hair is always perfect.
Do, 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 do.
What do you do to make it like that? It's got to be something.
What do you mean?
Like, well, your hair can't be like that at all times.
Yeah,
well,
are you using gel or spray?
Yeah, like what's going on?
I'm using Suavecito gel.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You guys still use mousse? Is that still around?
No,
yeah.
I don't think mousse. I use Suavecito. It's a cream.
Yeah, it is.
Works really well. All right, so you asked a question, John, and I think it's an interesting one. Should the Rams get in on Odell Beckham Jr. now that he's a free agent?
Well, should they and will they are two different things. Will they, I think, is a yes. You know they're always kicking the tires on everybody. And in order to get him, they would have to move some parts around.
Well, wait a minute. He's just a veterans minimum guy at this point. He already got a $7.2 million from the Browns.
Right, but isn't the fact that I think that I read he can only go to teams that have the cap space for him.
Well, when he was going through waivers, he could only go to teams that had $7.2 million.
Now that he's cleared
waivers,
he can go anywhere?
Correct. Now he can go anywhere. He's free to go anywhere. So
if you're not over the cap, if you're over the cap, you just got to make room to fit him in, whatever.
Correct. Correct. So, now, what's interesting is the Rams are a little thin at wide receiver. They
just lost their backup tight end last weekend.
Yeah, they just lost Jacob Harris, who's their backup tight end, backs up Tyler Igbe. DeSean Jackson, obviously gone. Their premium wide receivers now are Cooper Kupp, obviously, already passed 1,000 yards for the year. Robert Woods, who's unbelievably good, and Van Jefferson, who's improving every single week, although he did drop a perfect touchdown pass for Matthew Stafford in that game on Sunday night. But Van Jefferson has been really good. Do you have room for a guy like Odell Beckham Jr.? Do you have room for his ego, I guess, is the question. In other words, Odell Beckham Jr. was unhappy in Cleveland because he wasn't getting targets and touches. Is he going to get enough targets and touches with the Rams? DeSean Jackson wasn't happy. He didn't feel like he was getting enough targets and touches.
But here's the thing. The teams we're hearing about, let's compare them to the Rams.
Okay.
So if you put Beckham, Robert Woods, and Cooper Kupp out there,
yes,
you in essence would have three number one receivers.
Yes.
In Seattle, they already have, and they're getting Russell Wilson back, they already have two wide receivers that they go to all the time. They have DK Metcalf
and Tyler Lockett. Yeah.
If you go to Green Bay, Davante Adams gets more
targets. Is the one,
targets.
But wouldn't he immediately become the two?
But think about it. They have other people that have been decent.
Well, Lazar and Marquez
Scantling
Randall Cobb.
But St. Brown and all those dudes.
But doesn't, if he goes to Green Bay, doesn't he immediately become the number two behind Davante Adams? I mean, Alan Lazard is not competition for Odell Beckham Jr.
Right, but I don't know.
Isn't he the fourth wide receiver for the Rams?
Well, no, he would be one of three that you could go to on
a regular
you're
writing
basis.
Off Van Jefferson.
I think Van Jefferson then goes to the bench, don't you?
See, I love Van Jefferson. Van Jefferson has had some touchdown catches for them this year.
Right. But I think he then goes to the bench if you get Odell Beckham.
Now, if you're telling me, why wasn't there room for DeSean Jackson, who's now signed with the Raiders?
I would think he's a little more one-dimensional than Beckham is. I mean, DeSean Jackson is just send him deep and that's it. Beckham can go over the middle. Beckham can run sweeps. Beckham, you know, he's a three-time Pro Bowler. Matter of fact, you could argue his first 3 years in the NFL when he played for the Giants were as good as anybody's first years as a wide receiver, including Jerry Rice. Here's the team that I think makes a ton of sense for him, and I don't understand why they're not being talked about more. Look at the Saints.
Yeah, Saints. Michael Thomas is officially out for the year.
And he went to LSU. Isn't he from that part of the world? Isn't he from Louisiana? I mean, that to me seems like a really good fit. But they don't have a quarterback now. They have Taysom Hill at quarterback. So I'm not sure what Odell – it depends what he's looking for. But I thought the Saints would be a good fit. I think the Niners would probably be a good fit.
The Niners, are they in it? I don't think they're really in it.
I think
their
whole season hangs on Monday night against the Rams. I think if they lose that game, they're out of it. But if they win that game, Mace, aren't they right back in it?
What are they, 3-5 right now? Yeah, 3-5.
But there are teams that have playoff spots now that are, I think, 5-4 I'd have to look at it again.
Yeah, no, it's very top heavy. So here are the teams that seem locks for the playoffs. Dallas is 6-2 in the NFC. Green Bay 7-2. Tampa 6-2. Rams are 7-2, and Arizona is 8-1. Everybody else is under 500.
Right. So that's in your seventh spot.
New Orleans,
right?
Is 5-3. So those are the over 500 teams, yeah, in the NFC.
And they're seven spots, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Niners aren't dead yet, particularly if they win this weekend. You know,
they're not beating the Rams.
They've beat the Rams four times in a row.
You know, want to know the secret? And so I'm just going to talk out of my ass here. So as I remember it, and somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, or somebody will back me up if I'm right, a couple of those 49er losses were in the last game of the year when Sean McVay rested all of his starters.
Yeah, but a couple of them weren't. Both of them last year, that was not the case.
Couple of them were, but couple of them were. I think that's deceiving the four in a row. Somebody on Twitter, at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, back me up on this. I acknowledge, by the way, up front, I'm talking out of my ass.
Right. Last year, they beat them two in a row in games that did not fit your description. So I McVay has had a lot of trouble with Kyle Shanahan. Hey, by the way, so we know John Lynch a little bit, and we like him.
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch took the Niners to the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Yes.
They are 1-13 at home in their last 14 games. 1-13. How much rope do they have if they miss the playoffs this year?
You know, they just got to a Super Bowl, 2 years ago?
Right.
I think they're in decent shape.
Yeah,
I don't think people move as fast as you think they move. I mean, yeah, they're a terrible run, but they did get to the Super Bowl just 2 years ago. I don't think they're looking to blow up the front office at this point, do you?
Maybe. If they miss the playoffs completely 2 years in a row? Very rarely. Like, the only coach that missed the playoffs 3 years in a row that still had a job this year was John Gruden, and now he's out for reasons that have nothing to do with win-loss.
Right.
But he was the only one. Normally, if you miss the playoffs 3 years in a row, you're done. 2 years in a row, they start the drumbeat.
Even if you went to a Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Yeah. Matter of fact, it happens in college football now, too.
I mean, John Lynch clearly knows what he's doing.
Right. But I'm just saying, maybe John Lynch doesn't go, but Kyle Shanahan does.
Oh, come on. They're not getting rid of Kyle Shanahan.
He's 1-13.
You have such a quick trigger on this stuff.
He's 1-13 in his last 14 home games.
He got him to a Super Bowl, and he's still viewed as one of the best head coaches in the NFL.
So,
he'd get a job almost immediately.
If he goes 1-20 at home, is that
Now you're hitting crazy scenarios. Sure, 1-20.
No, I'm not doing. He's 1-13 at home.
Yeah, 1-13 is a huge difference. You're talking about seven more home losses.
Yeah,
but yeah. Then maybe you consider it. But no, I think Kyle Shanahan is completely safe.
He lost this week to Arizona without Kyler Murray, without DeAndre Hopkins, and without A.J. Green.
Not only do I not think his seat is hot, I think it's actually chilly. I think his seat is actually cold. He is not going anywhere. Kyle Shanahan, you were ready to replace Matthew Stafford in the middle of the Rams game Sunday night.
Because he was hurt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, clearly he had a decent second half.
Right. Not good enough. But The Shanahan thing is a weirder deal, though. If you miss the playoffs 3 years in a row, you're in big trouble. And I can't remember if this year would be two or three. I think it would be two. So I think that he's probably okay at the end of this year, but next year he goes on the hot seat. And by the way, it's not just me. Look at the columnists in San Francisco. I mean, go to the Athletic.
They're calling for Kyle Shanahan to be
fired?
They're
saying it's a thing. Yeah, especially after last weekend. Last weekend was a bad loss for them.
They went 13-3 in 2019, first in the West, and went to the Super Bowl.
And were ahead in the fourth quarter until the Chiefs came back.
And since then, he's gone 6-10, 3-5. So far, 3-5.
Yeah, but he can't win at home. I don't know.
By the way, have you been to that stadium?
No.
It is so not in San Francisco, it's ridiculous.
It's in Santa Clara. It's like 45
minutes away. I don't know why they built that thing. Yeah, it's a long way away from San Francisco.
Yeah, it was a land deal. They got the land for free.
Yeah, it's a beautiful stadium. It's a terrible location. It is a long way from San Francisco. I mean, I don't think they get when I've been there for two regular season games, I don't think they get a a very big 49ers fan buzz because it's so far away from San Francisco. I think
well, it's the equivalent of when the Rams moved to Anaheim for that period
correct
of time.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Just like that.
You know, they're like 45 minutes out of town.
By the way, the Rams have not played the 49ers since 2018 in Week 17.
Yeah, shut up.
you wanted
the
and they
info
won that game. By the way, they won that game.
I told you I was talking out of my ass.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, you did.
So 2018, 2019, 2020, the last six games have meant something?
Yeah, well, in 2019.
The last four.
In 2019, okay, at least the game was in Week 16, but that still mattered.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't know if it mattered. I don't know if it, but no, the reality is they've lost four in a row. They've lost four in a row to San Francisco. They'll beat them Monday night. I would not want to play the Rams after they lost embarrassingly.
Matter of fact, I think
Tennessee.
McVay's got like a ridiculous record after a loss. I don't think he loses two in a row very much.
God, the idea of Odell Beckham Jr. is really fun, right?
Yep.
Megacast time for next week.
Oh,
are
that's
we doing
right.
That?
We're doing the Megacast.
All right, I'm only doing the first quarter.
Okay. Momo's going to pick up and do the second quarter.
Okay.
And then we're done.
So the deal is we're going to do just like the Manning cast. The idea is you put us on your laptop or your computer while you're watching the game, and we will react to the game live and just total BS our way through it. A lot of talking out of the ass.
By the way, I'm sending out the bat signal to Carlo Sisu. Carlo, I need you to set me up for that at the station during the first quarter.
Yeah, I think he's going to need to set all of us up because I don't think any of us know technically what we're doing. I've got a guy who is with MLB Network who has made some bold MLB free agent predictions.
Okay.
I got those coming up for you. Also, Jump Ball is at 2:45. And make sure you pay attention for my lie of the day. If you can figure out my lie of the day, you win a Vote for Jorge t-shirt. Have I
hey
told
guys,
you
guys, vote for Jorge.
Oh, come on. How do you not vote for Jorge after your little
seriously
Maite?
Yeah, how does Laura Romo even contest
that's
you
like
or even challenge you about
wait,
that?
Right who? There.
Who?
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's right. Ireland, are you using the Suavecito?
No, I don't think I ever have. I wouldn't be against it, though.
Yeah, you should give it a go. What do why you not use on your hair? What do you use on the puff of hair you got?
the remaining hair I have left?
Yes.
I use...
Hairspray?
No.
Aquanet?
It's a gel.
Yep.
But it's a Redken gel. I don't even know the name of it.
You should definitely switch to Suavecito.
All right, I'll try it.
Yeah. All right, so I've got right here a list of bold free agent predictions. These are Major League Baseball bold free agent predictions, and some of them are very, very surprising. These are by a guy named Anthony Castrovince, who is a writer for MLB.com.
Okay.
So he's taking his best shot. I'm going to say the free agent. You tell me where you think, and Greg, you can play. Jorge, you can play. Greg, you probably have a better handle on this. Carlos Correa, shortstop from the Astros. Any idea where he goes?
Yankees.
He says Tigers because of the A.J. Hinch connection.
And where did...
Why would he want to go to a loser?
Yeah, that's a good point. Money.
Corey Seager.
Well, if Correa's going to Detroit, then Seager goes to the Yankees or he stays with the Dodgers.
Dodgers. I think he stays with the Dodgers.
He says... goes to the Yankees. Now, do you think the Dodgers have an appetite for a $300 million contract? Because now that's what Jim Bowden said, $300 million for Corey Seager.
Yes.
Well, the problem is they already have one with Mookie Betts. So I don't know if they do another one. No, I think that if that's what it costs, he probably goes to the Yankees.
Here's one that's scary. He says the Giants will sign both Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander.
Wow, interesting.
I don't see that one.
Here's what he says. They only have about $50 million in guaranteed money on the books for 2022. $30 million for 2023 and nothing after that. The Giants have the flexibility to tack on that extra dollar and or year for Scherzer and Verlander. And he says, how cool would it be to see these two Hall of Famers in the same rotation? It'd be terrible to see those two Hall of Famers in the same rotation.
Well, you know, they've been anyway.
They were teammates in Detroit.
They've only got $50 million in guaranteed money for this coming season.
Right, which means that the guys that they're going to lose are all older, and they're not going to have the same type of year that they did this last year. Brandon Crawford's older and probably
well,
not going to have the same type of year.
Crawford's under contract. They'd have to re-sign Brandon Belt. They'd have to re-sign Chris Bryant.
Right, and then Buster Posey is gone.
Buster Posey is retired. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But they got a lot of room under the cap, under the luxury tax. He says Trevor Story will wind up going to the Astros to replace Carlos Correa.
Makes
I love
sense.
Trevor Story.
Makes sense.
He had a bad year.
Yeah, and a bad year in Colorado is a red flag because almost everybody hits there.
Clayton Kershaw will re-sign with the Dodgers. He says the Rangers will once again be a highly cited alternative, and his injury troubles complicate matters, but we'll believe Kershaw leaves the Dodgers when we actually see it. I don't think the Dodgers will let Kershaw go.
But you think they'll let Jansen go?
I do. Here's the difference. The difference is Jansen had what was arguably, one of, if not the career year. He was, if you take 1 week in July out of his season, he was the best closer in the game. And we saw him in the postseason. I mean, he was just striking out the side every time he came in there. Now, I believe with relievers, it is constantly up and down. The stock on a reliever goes up, it goes down. I think he's at a high point, and I would let him leave and go with Blake Treinen as the closer and build a bullpen behind Blake Treinen, because I don't think Kenley is going to duplicate the heights of the 2021 season.
So I heard in an interview with Andrew Friedman, and he was asked, does the fact that Jansen and Kershaw have only played for the Dodgers in their careers factor into what you offer them or if you make them an offer? And normally I would, you know, Friedman's very good at not saying any more than what he wants to say.
Correct.
But in this case, he actually kind of doubled down. He used the word equity. He said, those guys have equity.
Wow.
And he said, that will not go unnoticed around here. And so I think they're both going to get offers. Now, whether or not they like the offers, we'll see. But I think they're both going to get offers.
Yeah, and he's got Chris Taylor going to the Phillies on a 3-year deal.
Ugh. I would hate that.
So if I give you the free agents, so there's – write jot these down, okay? Jot these right. down if you've
yep.
got something to write with,
yep,
something
I do.
To write on. You got Scherzer. You got Kershaw. You got Jansen. You got Taylor. You got Seager. And I'm not going to put Pujols on there, even though I hope he comes back. So you got Scherzer, Kershaw, Jansen, Taylor, Seager. Put them in order of importance.
Does money matter?
Let's just throw money the hell out.
Okay. Seager 1.
Yep.
Taylor 2.
Yep.
Scherzer 3. Jansen 4. Kershaw 5.
Wow.
I would only switch. I would probably switch Scherzer and Taylor where Scherzer was 2, and then Jansen 5, Kershaw 4.
I will go Scherzer 1, Seager 2, Taylor 3, Kershaw 4, and Jansen 5.
What happened, and I'm not asking for a hot take, I'm asking for your honest opinion.
Yes.
I don't think he'll ever pitch for the Dodgers again, but what happens to Trevor Bauer?
I don't know that there's been enough investigation to even figure it out. I mean, there's still legal stuff going on. Major League Baseball still needs to step in. I've seen people report that he's going to miss at least a year, suspended for a year. But I don't think we know enough to know what's going to happen to Trevor Bauer.
There has to be some form of a suspension when the legal process is resolved.
Correct.
And you would think the legal process will be resolved before opening day.
You would think.
You'd think we get answers there. So, I think the reasonable thing is let the legal process play. Now, assuming he's not in jail, which is not a safe assumption. He very well could be in jail. But assuming he gets whatever the legal angle is, gets resolved.
Yep.
Is there a possibility he gets 100 games rather than a whole season or 50 games? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen baseball people actually even suggest 2 years suspension.
No way.
Now, remember, we
no one's ever gotten 2 years.
We want him to be suspended. As a Dodger fan, I want him to be suspended for a year because that means we don't have to pay him.
Right.
That's huge. Actually, John, I've got a surprise guest. Joining us right now is Rajiv Sapur.
Okay.
Rajiv, welcome to the show.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Good. I don't know exactly how I know you, but I know you. And you texted
me. Steve, I'm your Reddit guy. And then John, I'm the one who got Jack his Manchester United jersey.
Awesome. Yeah, okay. I remember you.
So Rajiv was at the Lakers game last night.
Okay.
And he says that What? First of all, describe what Pepe Mantilla does when he's introduced. Rajiv.
So, they make the announcement, they're announcing all the announcers, and Pepe Mantilla, I'm sitting there, and they announce Pepe Mantilla, and I look up, because I remember the conversation you guys have been having, and, he stands up and waves, I smile, and I think, yeah, and then next thing you know, they announce John Ireland, and then something happens, something magic happens.
What happened?
It was a magical moment at Staples Center. John, in his seat, raised his arm and started waving at the crowd.
What?
No.
Really?
No, this is, you didn't, yeah, Rajiv, you didn't notice the bit.
John.
You didn't notice the bit, Rajiv. Michael and I both, for the last 5 or 6 games, just because we want to keep him mad at us, we stand and wave only at Pepe.
Well,
we will stand, and if you watch, Rajiv, next time you're there, watch Michael and I, and then watch Pepe. He'll get this real sour look on his face and wave back at us. But we will turn, and our point is, Pepe has been waving for 25 years, and no one has ever waved back. So Michael and I decided that we felt he should be acknowledged by someone. So we stand up and wave only at Pepe, and then we sit down.
Matt, I'll tell you what. I was laughing in my seat, and I was with my wife, and she thinks I'm an idiot, but, whatever. But, hey, I was laughing. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah,
there you go.
If you watch again, you'll notice that Pepe sits up to our right, and Michael and I will both stand. Sometimes we don't even stand.
And you'll turn around and wave at Pepe?
We'll look right at Pepe, and we'll wave at him, and he will, smirk like, all right, you idiots, and he'll wave back.
All right. Hey, Rajiv,
thanks
for the intel, man.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
John, I'm going back to Manchester United in January. I'll get another one for him.
Yeah, oh, good. Thank you. By the way, but they're struggling, man. Bring them some luck.
Yeah, maybe we got to get their announcers to wave to the crowd.
Yeah, amen. Amen. All right, thanks, Rajiv.
Thank you, Rajiv. Appreciate that, man. All right, coming up next for you, Aaron Rodgers said a little bit more today. He obviously did that press conference with
Pat McAfee.
With Pat McAfee this last week. And his endorsements have disappeared. I want to get into that coming up next for you. In the meantime, hey, tomorrow, Bastards Canteen, the biggest veterans event in Southern California. It is in downtown Downey. We're celebrating our Marines, our veterans, our active service people, and our whole community. It is the 9th annual 246th Marine Corps Birthday and Veterans Day Bash. It is tomorrow. Me and Bergman are going to be there starting at 12:55 sharp. Sedano and Cap will be there a little bit later. It is Bastards Canteen on Downey Avenue between 2nd and 3rd Avenue. They shut down the streets. It's a really big event. We want to see you guys out there to celebrate, again, our veterans, our Marines, and all of our active service people as well. Veterans Day is coming up on Thursday. So tomorrow, big event. Want to see you there. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., is now a free agent. He can sign anywhere. We were talking about the idea of him coming to the Rams. You know, one thing to keep an eye on, and the Rams are a little thin at wide receiver. This might make more sense. Josh Reynolds, who has been a Ram, who was a Ram for a couple of years, sure. Rams drafted him, has been released by the Titans, and he is a free agent and can go anywhere. So, yeah, the idea of OBJ is fun. Josh Reynolds may be the one that makes more sense.
Right, and they could slide him right back in.
Exactly. So Aaron Rodgers has done some, has had a couple of kooky. Today he went on the Pat McAfee show and he sort of backed down from some of the kooky stuff he said the other day. But he had more endorsements than anybody in the NFL. He had Adidas, he had State Farm, he had Previa Healthcare, Bergstrom Automotive, Sharpie, Izod, and on Saturday, Previa dropped Rodgers as an endorser. What do you think of the other companies?
Well, the other companies? State Farm has come out and said they're going to keep him, but they very quietly have removed all his commercials.
Interesting.
So they do say they're going to keep him on staff. I'm surprised. People Magazine had an article today about Aaron being surprised at the negative reaction to his comments.
Right.
I've always been an Aaron Rodgers fan, but I thought he was smarter than that. I mean, he lied about taking the vaccine. He put everybody at risk.
The rest of the league, by the way, all the other organizations are pissed off because Aaron Rodgers didn't get vaccinated but didn't have to follow all the protocols.
Right, which I think is a reasonable position. There are people outside. Howard Stern thinks Aaron Rodgers should be kicked out of the league.
Oh, Kareem wrote just a scathing piece about Aaron Rodgers.
Right. I'm very surprised that Aaron didn't think he was going to get a backlash.
He did, because he said, you know, it's too many people are woke and too many people are, they're trying to cancel him and stuff like that. He did say that in the original Pat McAfee thing. He also said he listens to Dr. Joe Rogan and took the medicine that goes to cows and horses.
I think that Aaron Rodgers is a first ballot Hall of Fame lock. He is and by the way, what we saw when Jordan Love tried to play quarterback last week is that his team can't win without him. So they need him. But for him to take the position he took and for him to lie about being vaccinated and use the word immunized and think nobody would notice or that it wouldn't, because I guess nobody did notice, so that it wouldn't catch up with him, I think it's just incredibly naive for a smart guy.
So would you, if you were one of these companies, and again, there are multiple companies that he endorses, Previa Healthcare, which you would understand, has dropped him. So a healthcare company, I get that. But Adidas, State Farm, you said they've quietly taken away his commercials, but he's keeping in his endorsement money. An automotive company, Sharpie, Izod. Is Izod still a thing?
Yeah, very good. They've been kind of reborn.
So would you, if you were one of those companies, drop Aaron Rodgers as an endorser?
I would. And here's why. I've said it many times on the show. Companies are big companies for a reason. They've been hugely successful. Anybody who's got a background in PR, and my wife does, and so I've been married to somebody in the PR business, will tell you, the only thing you don't want is negative attention.
Right.
You just don't need it. You're a successful company. You've obviously made tons of money doing something. You've made a decision to advertise or to market your product. You don't even need a celebrity endorser. You can come up with a creative ad campaign that doesn't involve any celebrities.
Okay, but here's the thing.
But if you decide to use one, you better make sure that person doesn't skew negative. And right now, Aaron's skewing negative. I would drop him.
Okay, but in a moment of honesty, you rant about cancel culture. How is that not cancel culture, where you're suggesting companies dropping Aaron Rodgers as an endorser?
cancel culture in this case would be the Packers dropping Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers will continue. He'll be with the Packers this year. Next year, after watching Jordan Love, maybe he'll be with the Packers next year or he'll go elsewhere. Aaron Rodgers is not going to be canceled as a quarterback.
My definition of cancel culture is that you lose your job because of something you said.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Aaron's going to lose his job.
No, absolutely not.
But there are consequences to things you say. If you decide to take a position politically on something, or if you decide to be an anti-vaxxer, which Aaron decided to be, there are consequences with that. And one of the consequences is if I have a successful company and you're a paid spokesman for me, I'm going to put you on the bench or I'm going to drop you.
Yeah.
Because I don't need the negative attention. What I would speak out against, to your question, is if the Packers came out today and said, you know what, we don't like what Aaron did, we're releasing him.
Right.
I think what you should be canceled for is what Henry Ruggs did.
Oh, okay? Well, sure. I mean, he should go to prison.
But Aaron Rodgers hasn't done anything. You tell me. Has he done anything lawfully wrong? Like,
no.
He took a moral position that a lot of people are going to disagree with?
I don't think he's done something lawfully wrong.
He hasn't
broken
the law. I
mean, I guess he lied.
Yeah.
He broke rules,
so I don't
but
want that,
he didn't
I don't
do
want
anything
that guy
lawfully
being,
wrong.
I don't want that guy being the face of my company. And by the way, State Farm employs a lot of other people.
Oh, they got so many athletes.
They have Patrick Mahomes. They have Chris Paul. They have they have Sabrina Ionescu.
Right.
So just put those other guys front and center for a while.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next for you is Jump Ball. Bergman, do you have anything good in Jump Ball?
I mean, I hope it's better than yesterday.
Yeah, well, yesterday was a crash
and burn. It'd be impossible for it not to be better than yesterday.
Yesterday was really bad, huh?
It was.
I mean, I have complete confidence that today will be better than yesterday. And I don't even know if you have anything good.
It can't get any worse.
Well, we'll see.
All right. Jump Ball is coming up next for you. And don't forget, tomorrow, Bastards Canteen. I want to see you out there in Downey. We celebrate our service people, our Marines, all of our American veterans during this Veterans Day week. And that is on Downey Avenue between 2nd and 3rd. They're just going to shut that area down, and we will be broadcasting from there live. Mason Ireland, Jump Ball's next, 710 ESPN.
Thank you very much, Chris. All right, so the Manning cast is all the rage right now, obviously.
Yes. But didn't have one last night.
No, they did not have one last night. I don't think they had guests. They couldn't find them or something, what I heard. But anyway, but the Manning brothers are not done yet. Peyton, Eli Cooper, and dad Archie are all teaming up with Caesars Sports in a new wide-ranging partnership. They will appear in sportsbook ads, promote responsible gambling, and be a part of the company as strategic advisors. What do you think of this move by the Mannings?
I think that they're smart. Mace, what I'm hearing is, you know, a bunch of old ESPN guys are starting to get hired by Caesars.
Okay.
And guys like Trey Wingo and Kenny Mayne and people like that.
Right.
The money involved in this particular niche, or is it niche? I don't know. Is stunning. Staggering. These people are making more money than, you know,
right.
Gambling and sports gambling is the next grand new frontier. And I think Peyton, Archie, Cooper, and Eli are being smart to cash in on it. I think it is a gold mine of opportunity for people in sports.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know if there are more likable guys than Peyton and Eli, especially from that Manning cast. They come across as such sort of, I mean, they're obviously football savants, but they also are just goofy and fun and funny and all that stuff. So I think they're great spokespeople. Cooper is just along for the ride, right?
Yeah, except he's the father of Arch, who's the number one recruit.
Oh, that's right.
Country.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And, I'll say this, John, and it probably won't be the last time. So right now, if you are in a state where gambling is not restricted, where gambling is legal, sports gambling is legal, on your phone, you can make a bet on anything using DraftKings or FanDuel, or I assume this Caesars app, either now or ultimately. Isn't there some danger in that?
Sure.
That anybody can make a bet with their phone at any time? Aren't compulsive people likely to blow their lives that way?
Right. It's the same thing with, you know, legalizing marijuana everywhere and having an app that will deliver it to your house.
But marijuana, you don't blow your life. Marijuana, you lay on the couch.
Right, but you could
you get maybe eat a little too
you
much.
You could get addicted. You could blow your job. But gambling is just you blow all your money.
Right.
Yeah, there, of course there's risk. There's, I mean, everything in moderation is kind of a good way to live your life, right?
But if you're a gambler, gambler's going to gamble. I mean, you can't – like, I've always thought the one way to win at gambling, the only way, I think, to win consistently, because in the end, I mean, look at Steve Fezzik. We have him on every week. I don't know if he got his best bet right or not, but he's
not
about 500 this year. He lost.
Yeah,
okay,
under 500.
Under 500 this year, and he's an expert, okay? So – there's no such thing. You might as well flip a coin on every single bet. Last night I had Pittsburgh and Chicago over the 39 and a half. I got lucky, right? I just got lucky.
Yeah, you looked like you were in trouble for about three quarters, and the fourth quarter blew up.
They busted it open. Yeah, so it's luck. The one game I think where you don't, I mean, there's luck involved, but the house doesn't have an advantage is poker. That's the one place where the house does not have an advantage. You're not playing the house. They take their rake. You're playing the other guys at the table. So I think that if you're a great poker player, and this is why you see the same guys at the World Series of Poker final table on a pretty regular basis. If you're great at poker, you can win because the house doesn't have an advantage. The house has an advantage on every other game, right?
Right.
So poker is the one way I think you can win at gambling. I don't believe that there's such a thing as a professional gambler, with apologies to Steve Fezzik, who just makes his living entirely as a gambler. I know he works as a tout, but to make your life entirely as a gambler, I just don't believe it's possible.
I just scared Jorge with the buzzer. Anyway, Snoop Dogg is back in the news with multiple items, actually. As we know, he's going to be a part of the halftime show for the Super Bowl at SoFi next year.
Yeah.
But he also has a new album coming out this Friday called The Algorithm. Not only that, he also wants to own Death Row Records now, saying, "I think all of Death Row should be in my hands. I should be running that stuff." But he didn't say stuff, obviously. So what do you think of Snoop Dogg's aspirations, wanting to own Death Row?
Why not? He's an international name. He's obviously musically gifted. I think it would give Death Row a shot in the arm, don't you, Mace?
Yeah, I do. I mean, what's weird about it is he's right now, I just Googled this, an executive creative and strategic consultant for Def Jam Records.
Yeah, and he wants to do the same for Death
Row. For Death Row. Snoop is, it's funny how mainstream Snoop has gotten. You know, given that he's a guy who is famous for his hip-hop and his collaborations and his smoking weed, let's face it. I mean, he's famous for smoking weed. It's unbelievable how mainstream he's gotten. But in terms of his relationships, in terms of the people he knows and the people he's worked with, he's collaborated with just about everybody in hip-hop. It does make sense that he should be able to run Death Row Records. So, yeah, it does make sense to me.
Tupac,
Snoop is,
all
Snoop
eyes
is
on
a
me.
Genius.
Tupac, all eyes on me.
I hit the wrong button. Sorry about that. I meant to hit this one.
Yeah, I'm sure you meant to hit that one.
I didn't mean to hit
Tupac,
this one.
Tupac, all eyes on me. Tupac, all eyes on me.
I corrected myself.
You guessed. Yeah. Were you a Tupac, Tupac? I think you were guessing and hoping.
I knew the right answer.
Right. Yeah, I don't think you did.
All right, what you got?
All right, so the buddy costume that Will Ferrell wore in the movie Elf sold for nearly $300,000 at an auction, blowing the expected price of They were expecting between $27,000 and $41,000, and they sold it for nearly $300,000. If you guys could buy any costume from a movie, knowing that you guys like movies and stuff, what costume or what would you invest on? What would you buy?
Hmm. All right, so we can have any piece of memorabilia from a movie.
Right.
Okay. Mace, just for the fun of it, and I just think for it would be like the ultimate collector's item for people that have money.
Yep.
I want the gun Al Pacino dropped in the Italian restaurant in The Godfather.
I like that.
The one they taped to the old-fashioned toilet.
Drop the gun, take the cannoli.
Yeah, that's what I want.
That's a great item.
That is a good one.
That's a great item. So there's some obvious ones, right? Like the Maltese Falcon itself, but that's like old school.
Right.
The ruby slippers that Dorothy wore in The Wizard of Oz.
Super old school.
That's super old school. I would say the Tesseract from the Marvel series, that little box that set up Loki. You know what I'm talking about, right, Bergman?
Yeah, that thing's really cool. It's a blue, shiny box.
Yeah, the Tesseract, I think. And I would imagine that someday that's going to be a very valuable piece of memorabilia. I loved Loki, by the way. What's weird about it, John, and you don't follow Marvel, so you don't know this. So there was a moment in Avengers Endgame where Loki is apprehended and sort of handcuffed, and Matthew Berry is in that scene. And in that scene, Loki gets the Tesseract, this magic stone, and goes to a different, and disappears, vanishes, goes to a different world. So when they started the series Loki, it started from that point, which means Matthew Berry is in the first scenes of Loki. So he actually double-dipped. He was in both Avengers Endgame and the series Loki, which was fantastic. But I will say the Tesseract would be my choice.
Give me the hoverboard from Back to the Future.
Oh, that's a good one.
Say that too, man.
Oh, sorry. Really take yours. But it has to actually work, though. As long as it works, I want that hoverboard that works.
Here's a hint. It didn't.
Well, but then I don't want it.
Yeah, it did not work. It was special effects.
Oh, man. It looks so cool, though. All right, so it's come out that Frank Gore is set to fight former Utah Jazz and Brooklyn Net guard Darren Williams on the Jake Paul Tommy Fury card.
Oh.
Yeah, that's where we're going with this. Frank Gore is an absolute beast of a man, so this should be pretty easy. But why do all of these former athletes keep signing up for these fights? Is it for attention, back in the spotlight? What's going on?
Both. Attention and back in the spotlight. You know, there are certain people that are addicted to fame. I'm talking to one right now who's sitting at his house in Venice. So, Mason, I think if you could box, you would celebrity box. Because it would keep you in the spotlight.
Somebody's going to die. I mean, somebody's going to kill him. We saw what happened to
Nate Robinson. Looked like
Nate
he
Robinson
did die.
Yeah. Went down like a bag of rocks. I mean, no. I think the celebrity boxing trend is terrible. It's Darren Williams and who else?
Frank Gore.
Frank Gore. I mean, what are we doing
here? I'm betting big money on Frank Gore. Where's
me too. Yeah,
give
me
when is that
give me
fight?
Frank Gore. I thought he was still in the league. He's like the third leading rusher of all time, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think the celebrity boxing trend is terrible. And, John, I'm not as desperate for attention as you think I am.
So celebrity boxing is where you would draw the line?
Well, no, let me just tell you something. And this is just a fact, I turn down every television appearance that I'm offered.
Just
not into it anymore.
You haven't been offered the right one.
No, I've had opportunities, man. And I'm just like, nah. I'm a radio guy. I like radio.
The fight is December 18th, by the way, John.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I'll mark that on my calendar.
You should.
I'm going to put it on my iCal
right
now. Pray
to God I have a Laker game that night.
Good God. What a disaster.
All right. For the final one, the first trailer for House of Dragon, the Game of Thrones prequel, is out. And HBO is making it clear that it isn't trying to recreate Game of Thrones. I personally am out on anything Game of Thrones after they completely butchered it. But what about you guys? Does the fact that it's not trying to do the same thing as Game of Thrones make you want to watch it more or less?
Probably more, since we know what happened with Game of Thrones. But I don't know if I'm going to get into it. I don't know if you can duplicate what they had with Game of Thrones. I may not want to water it down. Although, Mace, Breaking Bad was enhanced by Better Call Saul. Better Call Saul is really good.
And by El Camino.
So maybe I give it a shot. Not sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's cool to expand a universe, right? So, for example, Marvel, and I've not seen it yet, but they expanded Eternals. It did gigantic business this weekend. The fans loved it. The critics hated it, according to Rotten Tomatoes. So they expanded the universe. If you're talking about expanding an existing universe like Game of Thrones, by the way, I don't think there's any chance that it's going to be much different from Game of Thrones. It's going to be dragons. It's going to be, Game of Thrones is really Succession with dragons, if you think about it. And I think there's no question that this show will somehow be Succession, power over a kingdom with dragons in it. So I disagree with the fact that it's really going to be different. But I will watch it. I'm in. It stars the guy that played Prince Charles in the Claire Foy version. It's Matt Smith.
It's Matt Smith. Okay.
Yeah, Matt Smith, who's great. He's the lead in it. But yeah, I'm in for trying it. I'm in for trying it. I would be up for another.
Matt Smith didn't play Prince Charles. He played Prince Philip.
Oh right, he played young Prince Philip. You're right.
Yeah,
you're right. He was great.
That'll do it.
If you had Prince Philip on your bingo card for things that we would say on the show today, congratulations.
You want to vote for Jorge T-shirt.
So 3:30 is the lie of the day. Make sure you're listening for that. 3:30, a chance to win a vote for Jorge T-shirt. My understanding is we're getting very, very close to announcing what the hell this awards show is going to be, what the award is actually going to be called. But Jorge is campaigning for producer of the year, and I think it's safe to say he is the heavy favorite. And the vote for Jorge T-shirt and campaign is really effective. So if you know the lie, be ready to call at 3:30. And coming up next for you, it's time to vote for the Hall of Fame again, Baseball Hall of Fame. We will give you a really interesting take from Doug Glanville from ESPN. Plus, the Lakers win last night, but I still see problems, John. I still see problems. We saw them again last night. We will get into that, too. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.